If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
We've talked about the 9 ways you know you overthink, but let's talk now about the cause of that, because there's causes underneath it. Overthinking is the effect. It's not the cause. So if we want to effectively manage our overthinking and manage our mind and our thoughts and the way we focus things, we have to be sure that we understand what causes it, because that's how we're going to change the effect. So overthinking is the effect of the spent cause. And here, in this section here, we're going to talk about things that cause overthinking. And now your overthinking could be part of any of these, all of one of them, any combination, and there could be other things. I in no way think this is comprehensive as far as every person on the planet. And I think it covers most of the gifted, smart, kind of fast-thinking people that I've ever run into. So I think you'll find yourself in some of these. And the first cause of overthinking that I would like to talk about is lack of confidence. It's probably one of the main things. It's one of the biggest problems, because when you hesitate and you find yourself uncertain, then you get a little afraid, and then that fear starts filling your mind. That is a lack of confidence. Now, some people might puff up and go, well, I'm confident. Well, that might be your ego being confident, but it doesn't mean your core is confident. So there's a difference between puffing up our mind and thinking, well, I can do anything, when secretly we might be thinking, well, I don't know about that. And when we do that, well, I don't know about that, that's a fear and that's an uncertainty and that's a lack of confidence. So we're talking about a little deeper of a level than just what our brain would say, right? Whenever you need to make a decision or you're trying to solve a problem and you notice that it's difficult because the decision-making or the problem-solving is a little bit off, or when you start to make a decision and you hesitate and then you back up, those are all signs of lack of confidence. So when you start making decisions and doing something and actually taking the action and breaking that cycle, then that is when some of the overthinking will back down. So when you're confident and you're standing in your authority from the inside out, like not ego authority, your mission authority, your emotional, your spiritual authority, when you're in that spot, then you're standing in a place of strength. And then your overthinking relaxes because you don't need to overthink to compensate. And that's, in this case, why overthinking is happening. It's coming from a lack of confidence, and so it's compensating and it's creating more difficulties. The best way to handle it is to slow down and make a decision and start taking some action, knowing that you can always correct the course, but at least some movement gives you something to work with. That's the first cause of overthinking. The second cause of overthinking I mentioned in the first set, and it's also in this set, and that is you second guess yourself. A lot of people do this. They check things 2 and 3 times. They wonder what's going on. Even, you know, if you leave the house and you think the coffee pot's on, but you don't know if it's on, but it might be on. And did I lock the door? And what about this? That's a form of overthinking. You know, I have a client of mine, and one of his big troubles is he has a security alarm in his house and he gets up 5 times during the night to make sure he turned it on. And every time he did really, really, in fact, turn it on. That second guessing himself, or 5 times guessing himself, I guess. So all you need to do to get rid of this habit is to start working with yourself to say, okay, if that's my decision and this is what I think, and then staying with it. Understanding that your happiness rests on making the choice. And if it's not the right choice, you can change your mind. So one of the things I help people learn with this one is reserve the right to change your mind. It's okay. It doesn't have to be that or nothing for the rest of the forever. And so you want to build confidence by knowing your ability and being sure of your ability and being okay with demonstrating your ability. Because some people are second guessing themselves because they're not really sure they want people to see what's going on or that they can really have that ability. Or some people just always triply check things. So there's lots of different causes under this cause. But the big thing that I really want to make the point of here is that second guessing yourself and going things over your mind over and over and over again causes chronic overthinking, which leads to obsession and it leads to fatigue and it leads to burnout. And those things do not serve us. The second cause of overthinking is second guessing yourself. It's healthier to make a decision and go with it and then make adjustments from there than it is to sit back and keep overthinking things and guessing and analyzing until you cannot move. That is not working. So we want to start taking action and then understanding we can make adjustments along the way. The third cause of overthinking is being a constant worrier. Now, my definition of worry is praying for something to go wrong. Because people who brag about, well, I'm the family worrier, I worry about everything, and they act like it's a badge of honor. What I always want to say is don't brag about that because you're not bragging about something that's healthy at all. Some worry is a natural reaction to something that might be unknown. Like if your friend is late and they're supposed to be there and you can't reach them, you know, you might be a little concerned the later it gets if it's out of character for them. That would be a natural reaction. But worrying all the time about everything constantly is pathological. It's very sick. And over time, it will really screw up your adrenal glands, your thyroid. It will mess up your ability to breathe properly. It causes havoc everywhere. In fact, I have a client now who is the family worrier. And, you know, she was almost in a psychiatric hospital about a week ago from severe anxiety and depression, holding on to the fact that because she could worry all the time, it made her feel important in the family. It made her feel like she had a role and all of those things because she was so emotionally fragile because of it that she needed all this care from everybody. And so then she got to feel important. So the being a worrier is not noble, and it's also not something that is desirable. So we want to focus our attention on positive thoughts, on ideas that help us reach our vision, having us go after our goals versus mulling over what went wrong. We want to look at things of our character that are traits that are good and serving us and doing the right thing and helping us feel strong versus looking at all the possible problems and creating a big worry mess. That kind of thing doesn't work, and it really creates a lot of overthinking that then causes paralysis. Because if I'm constantly worrying, I'm unable to do what I need to do for me. Like my client, she's even having a hard time doing her daily things. And she has like the life everybody would want on the outside, but she is so paralyzed on so many levels by this overthinking and this worry that, I mean, she requires a lot of attention from a lot of people to help her, and hopefully she will start making the changes I'm suggesting and will change this, you know, pattern that is causing a lot of medical problems for her and mental problems. So you want to do your best in this situation to look for what's good and what's right in the world instead of always looking for what's wrong. There's more steps to that, but that's just a hint. Number four is people overthink. I'm trying to think how to say this the way I want to say it. The cause of this kind of overthinking is not feeling safe. So they use their overthinking as a form of protection. Us humans only do things and we will only share and be emotionally available when we're safe. If I'm in a situation and I don't feel emotionally safe, not going to get very much out of me at all. No, not much interaction. And that's true for all people. We only heal to the level of safety we have. We only express a full life to the level of safety we have on an emotional and spiritual and physical level. Some people use their overthinking as a form of protection, which means on some level they don't feel safe. Now, that unsafety feeling could be unconscious. It could be a subconscious or unconscious, I'm not safe in the world, even if they might say they're safe. So if you lived in an unsafe childhood, or you were raised in a town in a bad area, or something like that, where you just kind of have that chronic unsafety, like in the United States ever since 9/11, all the studies show that everybody here is a little bit less unsafe. Everybody's a little bit less safe, a little bit more fear, a little bit more tension. It's kind of heightened. And so in that sense, overthinking is created to protect us from this constant, I'm not so sure I'm okay. I'm not so sure I'm protected. I'm not so sure I'm safe, because people who are smart are always trying to figure out a solution, try to sort out what's going on, whatever they can do to try to get some kind of relief. Problem is, that kind of overthinking kills any progress you're making toward creating safety and happiness and joy for yourself. So it's one of those paradoxes where it seems like if you overthink in order to feel protected in a seemingly unsafe situation, that you then would be able to create the safety. But what really happens, what ends up happening, is you kill your own progress. And that's where the problem ends up. And that's one of the ways overthinking can really cause problems for somebody, as far as anxiety, existential depression. It can cause you to lose opportunities because you don't step up, or you don't do things because you're not sure about it, because you're not feeling safe. Some introverts report that kind of lack of safety if they have to go into a crowd where they don't know people, you know, because they don't know what to do. So it doesn't feel safe. And so it stops them from being able to actually engage. So that's a big one. And it's very pervasive, and it's big in this culture where people aren't really safe. So they overthink to try to protect themselves. The overthinking is not a good protection all by itself. In fact, it actually makes the body and mind weaker. It doesn't do what it seems it's doing. Number five, a cause of your overthinking is the inability to relax. Now, this can come from lots of things. It can come from a stressful situation. It can come from a dysfunctional or unpredictable, chaotic kind of home or work environment. It can come because of constant stimulus if you have overexcitabilities and you need quiet and you can't get quiet. If you have a sensitivity of a certain kind, like whether you're emotionally sensitive and no matter what you do, there's something going on. I have a client now who's in California, where at this time they're having all those, they just had that bad mudslide and those fires and all kinds of things, one thing after the other. And he's really struggling with being able to just, you know, relax, because you don't know what's coming next. That happened, the same similar kind of situation here in Florida when the hurricanes came through. In fact, I even said that we all here in this area of Florida lost the month of September pretty much, because it was all wrapped up in the hurricane coming, the hurricane here, the hurricane leaving, and all of the things that went with that. And so the inability to relax because of the constant bombardment of what's going to happen and how to take care of things and just all of it, then that causes overthinking and overfiguring, and what do I do and how do I handle this and blah, 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 blah. And it creates that chain reaction of negative, gooky, nasty thoughts. I call it static. And it really makes a mess of things. Learning how to relax in the face of uncertainty or mystery is vital. And we're not trained to do that in Western culture. And so for many of us, this takes a lot of focus and work until we get good at it. Now, I do know some people who have practiced this over periods of time, and they're very good at it, probably much better than even myself. And I practice this some, but I know it happens. Yoga is a big tool that's good for this, because it teaches the whole unity, calming, breathing, and relieves people of the worry and things like that. Some yoga works for me. Sometimes meditation does. Sometimes learning to put things in proper perspective does. Sometimes practicing the principle of non-attachment, meaning I'm fully involved in what's going on and I'm not attached to the outcome, which is different than detachment. And so any of those things that help us learn how to relax better make the inability to relax go away. So then that does not cause our overthinking, because when your hat cannot relax, overthinking happens. If you are one of those people that works all day and then you think you're going to work right up until it's time to go to bed and jump in bed, you're not going to be able to fall asleep right away because your brain has not had any decompression time. And that was in the first part, right? And so then what happens is you don't have any decompression time and you can't sleep because your brain's not ready to sleep yet because you didn't do anything to help it get ready to sleep. And then now you're overthinking because you can't relax because you didn't properly take care of how your brain needs to unwind in order to go to sleep and not have insomnia. And so having an evening routine that takes about 30 minutes to actually relax the brain prior to asking it to sleep really helps the insomnia problem. So that's number five. Number six is a sense of perfectionism. And the cause of overthinking is wanting things to be perfect or wanting personally to be perfect or expecting perfection. This is a very big issue for only children and oldest children because what happens is when the child's very young, they realize that if the big people leave, they can't handle it on their own, so they better figure it out quick. So they don't give themselves much opportunity for learning curves, even though we all need them and we all have them. And so that translates into adulthood as somebody who is very perfectionistic and they get anxious a lot if things aren't in a predictable, regular way. So they tend to struggle with it and have a difficult time often with understanding that it doesn't have to be perfect and what perfect even really is. It means, you know, to somebody who is wanting to be perfect and struggling with perfectionism, they think they have no learning curve and have to jump at it right out of the box. Perfection really means to be able to be taught and be flexible. It does not have the same definition as we typically think or assign it. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking, then probably this might have something to do with it, where we want things to be perfect. And so we're already in the next day or the next week or whatever the project is. And oh my God, it has to be like this. Or what about that? And all of those things that can get in the way. That overthinking that's coming from perfectionism that wakes you up in the middle of the night messes up your biorhythms. It messes up how your organs do their job. They're meant to do. Your liver cleans your body at night when you're sleeping. So if you're not sleeping, it's not cleaning the body. It just doesn't work right. It messes up your mental well-being. It can make you depressed or have anxiety or just be lethargic or have no motivation or be hyper-motivated. It can really, you know, send you off one way or the other. So releasing the idea of having to be perfect and have such high standards that they're unrealistic creates overthinking because you're trying to always think what's going on, right? And number seven, this is my favorite. Number seven is that you overthink because you've made a habit out of it and now that's just what you do all the time. Because habit-forming things, things that are addictions, can come from the inside out and overthinking is one of them. The definition of an addiction is I cannot get enough of what I do not want. So I have people coming to me all the time wanting help with overthinking and they don't want to be overthinking, but they're overthinking because they're either analyzing their problems, figuring out the action, whatever, all of the different things, and they don't want to be doing it anymore. But when I ask them what the specific content is or ask for anything beyond the surface, they can't answer it because really they're just overthinking because it's a habit now because they've done it so long. That's their default button and that's what they're doing. And so they don't really want to change it, but they do want to change it. So they're caught in this between like a rock and a hard place. Like, what do you do? I don't like it. I don't want it, but I can't get enough of it at the same time. But I don't really want it. It's making me miserable and making me tired, but I can't stop it. And that place is where people get very frustrated with themselves. And that's the part of all of this that really steals your joy. It steals your happiness, your joy, your connection, because it's like this constant bantering. And neither of those two apparent choices will bring happiness and joy. They both zap the joy and the happiness from your life. And so it really becomes a mess. So if you're overthinking a lot because it's a habit, you've been doing it forever and you don't even really realize the damage it's doing, you're one of those people who needs to take some pretty serious action to help you see that you have adjusted to something that's completely unacceptable. As I say, you don't want to be one of those people who tolerates unacceptable behavior, including from yourself. And chronic, constant overthinking that's exhausting and fatiguing you is a form of self-abuse. And so we really want to work at changing some of these annoying things that are causing cascading issues that may not be immediate, like a broken leg or a heart attack, but cause long-term damage over a period of time. And the goal here is to empower us to be happy and joyful and live in harmony so that we're not a slave to something that jumped in as a habit. I hope that you've enjoyed part two of this four-part series on analysis paralysis. Find the other parts of this series on our podcast list.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.